Well, boys and girls, let me just firstly say that you did absolutely fantastic this morning. That was absolutely brilliant. I enjoyed every part of it, right from the very beginning to the very last bit there. But we're going to come to the most important part, and that's always the Word of God. But before I want to pray, I want to read the Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, can you turn to the book of John? Now, John is in the New Testament, and it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you can find Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find John. And it should be at the very start of the New Testament. We just want to read four verses. And it's found in John chapter 1. John in the very first chapter. Okay, John chapter 1. And we'll just read these first five verses. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now that word there is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And that's, boys and girls, the person that we want to speak about today. But we'll bow our heads briefly in a word of prayer. And whenever we come to hear God's Word, we have to sit up, we have to fold our arms, and we have to listen really carefully to what we have to say. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for all the boys and girls that have taken part. We pray that You'll bless every one of them. We pray, Lord, You'll bless everyone with the greatest blessing that You can give, the blessing of salvation. We thank You, Lord, for their homes and for their families. We pray, Lord, even for their families, that You will speak to them this morning. We pray, O God, that You would come. And that, Father, this would be a meeting where we know Thy presence. We'll know what it is for God to speak to every single heart. And, O God, that You will be glorified in everything that we will say. Amen. Now, boys and girls, there's many important people in this world. And when we think of important people, we could think of politicians, we could think of doctors, we could think of lawyers, we could think of scientists. And there's so many important people. But this morning I want to speak about the most important person that ever lived. The most important person that ever lived. And the most important person that ever lived was the person that we just read about, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to ask the question this morning. And the first question I want to ask is this: who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus Christ goes by different names. And you might have heard some of these names in your Sunday school or in your children's meeting. But I want to give you some clues this morning. And you can try and guess some of the names that Jesus Christ also went by in the Bible. The first one is this. This is your first clue. What's this here? Don't say Kingsmill. What is this? Do you know? What is it? Bread. Very good. Now, what name could be associated? What name did the Bible give to Jesus Christ associates with bread? Yep. Very good. Jesus Christ in the Bible was called the bread of life. Now I have a second clue. What's this here? Yep. A door handle. Now what do you think this relates to? Yep. Very good. I am the door. Don't tell my mum I have this because I took this off our house door. Okay. Now the last one. And I have to be very careful with this one because there's a wee button in this. And if I hit this button, he'll go bay. And if you turn on the gat there, he also starts to snore. So I don't want to push that button this morning. Now, what does this here remind us of? What name for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know? No, not sheep. The Lamb of God. Very good. And there are just three wee clues. And there are three names that the Lord Jesus Christ went by. But the main name that he went by was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was very special. He wasn't just like you and me. He wasn't just like a normal person. No, he was really special. And he was really special, boys and girls, firstly, because he was God the Son. He was God the Son. It wasn't just like you and me. No, he was the Son of God. And the Bible tells me that before Jesus Christ ever came into this world, Jesus Christ was up in heaven. And there in heaven, he was with God the Father, and there was Jesus Christ, God the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. And these three were up in heaven. The Bible tells me that those three people, those three persons, were all equal. Not one was important than another one. And they were all equally as powerful. And boys and girls, the first thing we see about Jesus Christ is this. We read it in our reading this morning. Is that he was eternal. He was eternal. He never had a beginning. And Jesus Christ will never have an ending. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that he is the first and he is the last. The second thing the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ was in our reading this morning was that he created all things. Everything. Whenever we're going up the road and we see perhaps the sheep, we see the sheep over in the fields, you think to yourself, well, Jesus Christ, he created that. Or perhaps the next time you go to get your lunch at school and you've got King's Mill's Finest, 89p, out of J.C. Stewart's and Macrofelt. If you have this here and you'll think to yourself, well, he even created the corn and he even created the bread that we eat. He created all things. And boys and girls, Jesus Christ was very special because he was the Son of God. But you know, he just didn't stay up in heaven. Something happened. You see, the Son of God, 2,000 years ago, he became a man. He became a man. And the Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that Jesus Christ took upon himself a body. A body. And he was born 2,000 years ago into a place called Bethlehem. And there he had a mother. But you know, there was something different about Jesus Christ. Because everybody that's born here, we all have a father and we all have a mother. But the Bible tells me that only Jesus Christ only had a mother. Yes, he had an earthly father that took him in and cared for him. But his father was God. And Jesus Christ was different. He was special. Because he was the Son of God who came from heaven. And he came a man. And he came into this world, boys and girls. And this taught us something. As he lived in this world, and we, men, women, and children, looked towards Jesus Christ, they began to see what God was like. They could see that God was compassionate because Jesus Christ healed the sick. They could see that God was powerful because of all the miracles that Jesus Christ did. And whenever people looked towards Jesus Christ, they didn't just see a man. They seen God. They seen God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a very, very special man. But not only did he just become a man, but as he lived in this world, and as he went about from place to place and did different things, Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who has ever told a lie? Even from the parents and from the older ones, who's ever told a lie? All the people up in the gallery as well. Well, you've told one this morning because your hands aren't up. But we've all basically told a lie. And I can know for myself, I've been disobedient to my mum and dad. And there's been times when I have maybe, my brother has took something of mine and I've went after my brother and, you know, give him a wee tap, you know, just round the head. Well, that, you're not meant to do that, boys and girls, that's bad. But we're all bad. And we do those sinful things. And God calls that sin. But you know, there was something absolutely remarkable about Jesus Christ. Because he was born as a baby like we all were. He grew up into this world. He became a teenager. Then he grew into a man. But from the very time he was born to the time that he died, he never once sinned. That means he never ever fought with his brothers and sisters. He never ever said a bad word. He never ever was disobedient to his parents. At no point in his life was he ever disobedient? And boys and girls, this shows us the great difference between God and us. You see, man, us as human beings, we're sinful. We're evil. We're bad. We commit sin every day. No matter how small the sin is, we commit it. But there's something different about God. God is holy. God is pure. God is perfect. And God cannot sin. He cannot sin. But there's something else about the perfect life that Jesus Christ lived. As Jesus Christ lived that perfect life, although he never sinned, although he never did anything wrong, yet he knew what it was to be tempted to sin. You know, whenever your brother comes along, and I keep going back to this because this happened to me a lot whenever I was younger. Your brother comes along and your brother's annoying you, and you're so tempted, you know, just to tell him to go away or hit him a good dig. You're so tempted to do that. Well, Jesus Christ knew what it was to be tempted. Or maybe you get really angry in school and you're really tempted to say a bad word. Or else your mum and dad tell you to go and tidy your room. And you say, well, I'm not going to go tidy my room. I want to do something else. And you're tempted to run quickly outside and grab the football and run away. Well, boys and girls, Jesus Christ was tempted. But yet he never sinned. But that means that he is able to understand what we go through with temptation. And we Christian boy or girl this morning, or older person, perhaps you're saved. Perhaps you became a Christian this year at Sunday school or at the children's meeting. And you've went into school and you've faced temptation. You've faced that thing within you that makes you want to do something bad, even though you really don't want to do it. Well, boys and girls, Jesus Christ understands. He knows how you feel. And he is able to help you to be a good Christian. To be a Christian that doesn't sin. To be a Christian that loves him. But not just did Jesus Christ live a perfect life. Or not just, sorry, did he was the Son of God who became a man, who then lived a perfect life. But Jesus Christ was the only Savior. Jesus Christ was the only Savior. And God sent his Son into the world, yes, to become a man, yes, to show us how to live as good Christians, yes, to teach us more about God and show us what God is like. But the primary purpose why Jesus Christ came into this world was to be our Savior. And many people, boys and girls, will tell you that Jesus Christ only came just to show you how to live, just to teach us morals, just to teach us, you know, what good people we ought to be. But boys and girls, you remember when somebody tells you that that's all he came for. You reply back to them, no, Jesus Christ, the main purpose why he came was to be a Savior. Mums and dads in the meeting, I wonder if you ever thought about that. Wonder if you ever thought about the Savior. Wonder if have you ever thought about the real reason why he came. And it was to be a Savior. And not just a Savior for somebody else, but he came to be your Savior. To save you from your sin. To die on a cross for you. And he came to save you from your sin. But I want to give you an example of what that means, that he came to be our Savior. You see, when Jesus Christ came to this world, he came to save us from our sin. And our sin causes terrible things within our lives. It can destroy our lives and cause awful effects even to our body. But our sin someday has to be punished by God. And I want to give you an example of what Jesus Christ did for you this morning. And I want to pretend, boys and girls, I want you to all hold up your hand. Hold up your hand like that there. Okay? And I want you to pretend, boys and girls, that that hand represents your whole life. I know it's weird, but come with me in this. I want you to think, that hand represents my entire life. And when God looks down from heaven, and God looks down in your life, boys and girls, I want you to imagine that this wee black thing here is sin. It's sin. And sin is in your life. And every time God looks down from heaven and God looks down at your life, boys and girls, he sees that little black thing, sin, in your life. And that wee black thing in your life, sin, reminds God that you're a sinner. It reminds God that you must be punished for your sin. It reminds God that he is holy. And as a holy God, he has to punish sin. That's not just for the boys and girls, but it goes for even the adults here today. When God looks down from heaven and He looks into your life, God clearly sees your sin. Oh, you may try and cover up your sin. You may try church and good works, and you may try and cover that from God, but God will still see it. You'll not be able to cover your sin. But this is what Jesus Christ did for you boys and girls, and for mums and dads as the Savior. Jesus Christ came into your life, and He took the sin out of your life and from you. And then what He did was He took, remember what we talked about, His perfect life? Imagine this is His perfect life. And He took His perfect life and He placed it over the top of your life. And that means that if you are one that has turned from your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when God looks down from heaven, God no longer sees your sin. God looks down and sees His own Son. He sees His Son that was perfect. And that means that there will be no punishment required for the sin that you've committed. And then Jesus Christ, not just did He give you His perfect life, but Jesus Christ took your sin and He put it in His life. And when God looked down from heaven, Jesus Christ went to that cross. And as God looked down from heaven, God seen your sin on Jesus Christ. And God punished Him for your sin. Boys and girls, perhaps you enjoy a sport like football. Does anybody enjoy football? Very good. Maybe hockey or something. And as you go out to play football, perhaps you might get injured or hurt your leg or hurt an arm or something. And somebody else will come on and take your place. They'll be a substitute. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did for you that day on the cross. Jesus Christ took your sin and He took your place and He died for you. Mums and dads, He also did it for you. He went to that cross that day and He took the sin from your life and He died for your sin. And He provided a way that if you would only turn from your sin and trust Him, you could be saved. You could be saved. I wonder, have you done that? I wonder, is that your own personal experience today, boys and girls, mums and dads? I wonder, have you ever trusted in the One that came to deliver you and take away your sin? You see, we must remind ourselves that He is the only Savior. Boys and girls, He's the only one that can save you from your sin. He's the only one that can take the sin out of your life and give you His perfect life so that God will no longer punish you for your sin. He's the only one that can do that. This church can't save you. Reverend Higginson can't save you. I can't save you. Your Sunday school teacher can't save you. None of us have the power to take the sin out of your life and give you the perfectness of Jesus Christ. We can't do that. You must come to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one final thing I just want to realize about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll give you another clue, okay? Who wears something like this? Yep. A king. Very good. I'm going to take that off because I think I look quite silly with that on me. I put that on this morning to my mum and dad. And I was like, here's one of my props, you know, for the Sunday school. My dad said, don't put that on, Andrew. You look wild daft. So I'll just take his advice and I'll take it off. But yes, boys and girls, Jesus Christ is a king. He's a king. So He's the Son of God who became a man, who lived a perfect life, who is the only Savior, but He's also a king. And this reminds me, boys and girls, as Jesus Christ is king, that He's not just any king. He's not just any king, but no, He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. If you go to Buckingham Palace, you'll see our Queen and King. But we have one that is far greater than them. We have one that is far more powerful than them. We have the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this reminds me that He guards us. And as a king, He will defend you, we Christian. You go into school and perhaps you're getting a hard time in school for being a Christian, or perhaps you go home and even your mum and dad might make fun of you for being a Christian, or your brothers and sisters might say, why do you go to that house Sunday school? You're just trying to be a holy Joe. You're just a Bible thumper. You remember, boys and girls, that your King, Jesus Christ, will defend you. You remember that your King, Jesus Christ, will guard you from all danger. And he will not let anything come near you that he doesn't permit. You have a king. But it also reminds me that as a king, he just doesn't guard us and defend us. But as a king, it means that we must submit to him. If you go and see the king or queen, boys and girls, you'll have to curtsy or bow your knee and give reverence and respect to the queen. And the same for Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. And I wonder, Mum or Dad, if you did that today. Have you bowed your knee to the King of Kings? Have you said to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you deserve my entire life. I submit myself to you. I submit myself to the work that you've done on the cross. Oh yes, as a king, he guards us and defends us. But as a king, boys and girls, mums and dads, he also deserves our lives and for us to be in submission to him. Have you done that? Have you done that this morning? Is he your Savior? Is he your King? Have you given your life to him? One final thing, boys and girls, and that is, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And he is the King of Kings. But we must ask him to save us. Yes, he went to the cross, and there on that cross he died, and he took away our sin, and he gave us his perfect life so God would never punish us for our sin. But you must trust him. You must trust him. And I want to give you just two words that I want you to remember. Two words that I want you to remember. And the first one is turn. Now, if you want to be saved, if you want to have your sin taken away, you must first of all turn from your sin. Now I'm going to give you an example of what that is, okay? Now, have you ever seen soldiers in the army? And the soldiers in the army, they'll start about here, and they'll go left, right, left, right, and they'll walk in a straight line, perfectly parallel one with another. And then, boys and girls, their commander or their captain will shout, turn or repent. And that soldier that's been walking in this perfectly straight line towards this way, he'll do a 180 degree turn, and he'll start walking this way. Left, right, left, right. And boys and girls, that's what you have to do with your sin. You maybe were walking this way in your life, sinning, saying bad words, being cheeky to your mum and dad. You have to turn away from that. You have to turn and walk the way that Jesus Christ wants you to walk. You have to put your trust in him and follow what he has taught in his Bible and walk in a new life. That's the first word, turn. The second word that I want you to remember this morning if you want to be saved is the word trust. Is the word trust. And that word trust, boys and girls, means that whenever you come to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you and that you can't save yourself, that you'll place all your trust in him to get you into heaven. Mums and dads, those words apply to you as well. Have you ever did that this morning? Have you ever turned from your sin? Has there ever come a point in your life where you've maybe came and you felt guilty over the sin that you've committed? And maybe perhaps this morning you even feel guilty for the sin that you've done last night or on Friday night. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me give you the command of the gospel to turn from your sin. Repent. Leave it. Let me encourage you to trust in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you from your sin. So we'll just do a wee recap, boys and girls. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has different names, as we've seen with these different objects. He is the Son of God who became a man. And as a man, he lived a perfect life. And in living that perfect life, then he became the only Savior, the only one that can take your sin from out of your life and give you his perfect life so God will no longer punish you for sin. And he is the King. He is the King who guards you and who commands that men, women, and older people will submit to him. I trust, boys and girls, that'll have helped you to understand a wee bit who Jesus Christ is, who Jesus Christ was. We'll just pass over to our brother, Reverend Higginson.